Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstcclinic.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105. Through the Fan. You got me, Kevin Hagelin, Corey Majors, Mike Bassick, and Reginald Atatula. The Mavericks are victorious.
Now we're talking.
But
relevant stuff.
Well, some of us are talking.
Some of us.
Corey, would you like to talk?
Are eating.
It's okay.
That's okay.
We got three mouths ready to talk.
That's a great point. If we can, give me that cut number two as the Mavs are victorious.
Final seconds, George. He's going to fire it up.
Yes. No, okay.
What a close game that was.
Gets the equalizer.
Last second
big
shot
road win for the Mavericks.
I think it was on the Bally broadcast, because that's mostly what I was watching.
That was a close game.
When they cut back to the Mavs folks, and I saw somebody like trying to wave off that buzzer three-pointer. I was like, it's all right. Either
way. Covered
the
spread,
like,
too.
Yeah, you covered the spread. You won the game. You're good. But I do love it. It feels like, it wasn't really a three-point game. It was a six-point game. But you were... That was a close game throughout. Number one thing I'm surprised about, that game didn't end with the winning team scoring 84, 85 points. How they got into the 90s after slogging along offensively, both teams, was amazing.
We got hot from three late, and that was awesome. Yeah. PJ Washington, Luka, Kyrie, and Maxi Kleber.
Kleber hit a huge three.
All had big buckets down the stretch late. For the most part, we made our free throws. We made enough free throws to close out the game. I thought we did a great job of letting L.A. let James Harden just like, hey, would you like a practice three-pointer to get this thing within a game again?
One thing I did really love, and it might be a small thing, but I think it's indicative of this player and how much he wants this, is in the post game. Did you hear one of the things Kyrie said is he goes, I can't miss that free throw.
Yeah.
Like, they won, and he goes, but Maxi got the rebound, and that's what a team does, is work together. And I like that he was like, hey, I know we just won and we played great, but I can't miss it.
Mike, I almost texted, and I was like, did he miss that on purpose? Because the way it all worked for us, it looked like, hey, this is exactly how I planned it. But no, there was no way he did that on purpose.
That would be – and it's a great win, because – at the end, when you're up 90 to 81, and it feels like with about a minute and 30, you're like, we got this thing. And
you
then,
know better.
You just saw the Knicks come back against Philadelphia a similar situation somewhat. And when you just let James Harden take a wide open three, then on a out-of-bounds play, you give them the layup.
What was that?
And the foul.
And
luckily, the foul got overturned.
The Harden three, was it Kyrie and Luka that broke off?
I thought it was Derrick Jones Jr.
Okay,
and Luka.
So Derrick Jones
and
Luka.
Team. All five of them just met in the middle and just were like, what happened?
It was those two guys.
But particularly those two broke off to, like, if you're facing the TV, off to the left.
Yeah.
And one of them was supposed to stay while the other one followed.
Yeah.
And that left Harden wide open. When I saw that, I was like, what the hell? It's even just, on the broadcast, they're like, uh-oh.
He even looked like confused.
This is awesome.
Okay, I'll shoot.
That's the best communication I've ever seen. But, I mean, somebody obviously forgot their job, right? They thought that they were switching everything or staying with everything. I don't know which one messed up, Derrick Jones Jr. or Luka, but they messed up.
They did.
Luckily, it didn't matter. They played their butts off. They played so hard for 48 minutes.
I thought, first of all, I definitely agree with that. The defensive effort, unbelievable.
There were so many times, Kevin, that, you know, Mike was kept saying getting in front of the screens, getting your butt down or up. Forward,
yeah, you pull it in. Yeah.
Pull it in. Like, I saw that. I literally saw Kyrie do that multiple times last night. And I was like, oh, wow. They know what they're doing right now defensively.
Man, okay. I want to talk about something that won't necessarily show up in the box score then, but it speaks to that defensive effort that you're talking about. Whether it was Jones, even Luka and Kleba, I thought they had so many more contested rebounds that they didn't necessarily get, but they were up in somebody's face about it. You know, so I know it might still show up in the box score as this was a Clippers rebound, this was a Clippers rebound, but you had, like, those three guys in particular stood out to me as they were pushing and putting pressure on trying to get the ball, but also, like, slowing down any potential transition the other way.
Hey, Kevin, I know you don't like this, but I want to give credit to the referees last night for letting the Mavericks play physical. And also then the Mavericks for recognizing that they were letting them play physical early in the game. Like, that, there was a very early moment where somebody went to the basket and there were like two or three different defenders right there all over. And I was like, whoa, hold on. That was a physical play right there.
Yeah.
And the refs didn't call like a cheap foul real quick. And immediately the Mavs recognized and said, okay, they're going to let us do that. We're doing it. We're not going to wait until later and be like, hey, what's going on here? They immediately recognized this is going to be a physical battle tonight. The refs are letting it go. Let's play that way. And that was the hugest factor, because it paid off throughout the night on the points of those offensive and defensive rebounds.
This is what at times I hate about NBA playoffs. Is I start getting really mad at referees.
Yeah.
In the regular season, I'm like, come on, guys. It's going to even out, whatever. It's one call. In the playoffs, you're like, how can Harden get that and Luka not? You know, and it's just, and I get it. It's a very tough sport to ref. Those guys are doing the best job they can. They are the best in the world. Whether you think they're good or not, doesn't matter. They are the best in the world. But there are times where it's like, boy, they're letting them play really physical. And then the next time you're like, you touched him with your pinky? Yeah. And that's, like, they called one at one point for Harden, which was iffy. And you're like, all right, if you're going to call. Then Kyrie makes another unbelievable 10-foot lefty runner.
That was awesome.
And Terrence Mann gets underneath them. Yeah. And you're like, that's more egregious than what Harden just got. And you just get confused. But I get it. It's a very tough sport to referee. And I felt like if we would have lost, I wouldn't blame the refs. No. Would not have blamed the refs. But I did feel like at times, L.A. was getting at times a more favorable call, but maybe that's just home court advantage.
Maybe so. I just felt that, like, the Mavericks were like, okay, if they're going to allow us to be physical, which I'm not used to seeing from them. Even, I mean, Luka's defense was physical.
Well,
last
the last,
night. Great.
So at the All-Star break, Adam Silver got with the referees and said, our game's out of hand. There's too many free throws. There's too many fouls. Let's let them play a little bit more. They're going to be ticked off, but let's let them figure this out before the playoffs. And so I do think players are now used to how the refs are really allowing the game to be played more than they allowed the game to be played before the All-Star break. And I feel like I watch MLB players, NBA players, and even NFL players. They seem to adjust pretty quickly to the way the refs or the umpires
see that
change the rules on them in the middle of a season.
I'll also add, you know, PJ Washington showing up. And this, I'm just going to say defensively right now before we get to the offensive side, because I know that was a huge factor too. But him, I thought Derrick Jones defensively, they knew what their jobs were. They knew what they were supposed to do. That helped in that effort to, like, those role players.
I thought Lively did a good job.
Lively was fantastic. And this is the thing. Gafford hasn't even shown up yet. Like, Gafford hasn't even arrived.
Okay, because you don't disagree about.
Thank God Derek Lively.
Because you got this look and I was like, hold on.
Well, because right now, I would like to make this comparison. And if you're too young, I get it. Or if you haven't really followed the NBA that much, I get it. Leandro Barbosa, I have no clue what his road and home splits were in the playoffs, but I feel like it was 25 points at home on 90% shooting and 5 points on the road on 10% shooting.
Right.
I'd never seen a dude. He was with the Phoenix Suns for most of this run. He was like, how does he do this? How is he an all-star in Phoenix? Because they're cheering for him. And if they're not cheering for him, he's like, I shouldn't even be in this basketball game. And I'm hoping at this point Daniel Gafford is the Leandro Barbosa of centers. That for some reason, that two performances there on the road were so bad, the worst basketball he's played for the Mavs, that maybe he has the Leandro Barbosa DNA, where for some reason he needs the crowd to cheer for him to be at his best.
Maybe so.
Any injury or soreness factor for yesterday? Because obviously I know bounced off and on the court.
He had the ankle in the game one.
And I'm not saying that's
a bad. It looked like a back last night. But yeah. Kevin.
He went back in the game, so I don't give a crap.
Yeah.
Okay.
Don't go back in the game. If you're going to play like that, I don't think it was. I get that his back was probably tight, but there was just. He's just kind of lost. It looked like to me a panic moment that it's still a really big thing. And I think he's going to bounce back. I do love him. I love that he's on the team. I would start him in game three as long as he's healthy. But it is worrisome that the first two games he's been a negative player for you.
I will say this is one of the things I've been kind of monitoring, Kevin, and maybe we'll get into this later in the show, but I asked Mike about the Luka pass to Kleba, and Kleba misses it. Kevin, you said you saw it, and then Luka jumps up and down, and he's like, you got to do this.
Yeah.
And we saw a couple moments last night where Luka was like, you have to be here. You have to be in your spot. You have to be ready. And I wonder if Daniel Gafford's just not – he doesn't know the speed of playoffs.
And he might be nervous.
And it's everything's faster. Everything's and I wonder if he's just not, because even on that jump on that block, he goes up a tick too late and gets it off the backboard.
And I don't have time for you to catch up.
You got to be ready for it right now. Now Lively isn't scoring offensively the way you want to, but sure. I think he's pressing a little bit. You saw a moment last night where something went bad. He looked frustrated, and Kyrie gave him the calm down. Like, you got to keep your head. You got to stay here. But I think Lively, the touch we've seen around the basket, that hasn't shown up, and Gafford hasn't shown up. So those are two things that are missing still that I think are on the way.
I would like to give Jason Kidd a lot of credit. When guys look like they're crapping their pants, he's like, that's enough.
Yes.
Even like PJ right? Washington had a great game overall, but in a moment, PJ Washington started crapping his pants, and he's like, that's enough. Let's get you out of the game. We're going to give you a little bit of a break. I'm
going to
put somebody else in because I can't. Gafford, it's like, hey, I can't let you work through this for 5 minutes. We will lose the game if I let you, role player, work through this. And so PJ Washington got yanked after missing an uncontested alley-oop dunk and then making, I think, a turnover and maybe a little bad defensive decision. He's like, that's three plays in a minute span. That's enough. I got to take you out and give somebody else the opportunity to play in this game. And P.J. Washington got to the bench, gathered his thoughts, and had a great finish to the game. So I want to give Jason Kidd a lot of credit for going, I don't have time for you role players. I have enough here on my bench to keep maneuvering and see who's going to play their best in these big moments.
I mean, just look at Exum's minutes. He got six last night because he looked like he had no clue what was going on. He looked frenetic out there.
Okay.
Frantic.
It works.
Phonetic.
Definitely not that one. All right. I want to make sure I word this properly.
Phonics?
No, Reggie, just you know better. Just like I was supposed to know better and you told me this morning.
That's right.
And I didn't follow that advice. Now I'm asking you, trust the mistake that I made.
Phoenix.
Josh Green. I'm not saying I want him to shoot the ball. I'm not saying that at all. Hear me on that. That being said, I thought the pace, defense, and rebounding that he brought to the game were very much needed. We might have a tough time agreeing on this. I'm just telling you, for Josh Green, I thought his ability to push the ball forward and some of those rebounds
he doesn't know where to go whenever he pushes the ball forward, but he does stop and turn around.
That is a fair point.
He definitely stops and turns around.
He does have positive moments, but he also has some really big negative moments. And so I'm with you on your I'm not going to argue. It's really tough, though, when literally I said this in punt the ball from the corner. Just see if that goes in, because you shooting looks like it, like hitting rim.
Australia?
It just looks like the luckiest thing in the world, even if it hits rim.
Right.
And once again, I give Jason Kidd credit. At one point there in the fourth quarter, he saw those positive things. And then as soon as he saw, crap, they're not going to guard him. And he's Russell Westbrooking at best these three-point shots.
He's wide open.
And so you're just like, all right, I got to take him out. His energy can cause issues running into James Harden when he can't make a three and giving him three free free throws, which are usually going to be three free points. So I think Josh Green, I'm not going to be opposed to him coming into game three and seeing what he can do. At the same time, because he's always hurt his whole career, he can't really improve his shooting on a consistent basis because he's not healthy enough to improve it, that it's very tough in these situations, as I was told by the people who, you know, work at Bally's. They have the extra cameras and audio that we don't get as an audience. What? When they were playing the Phoenix Suns a few years ago, they were like, shoot it, shoot it. Yeah. Like when Josh Green gets it, the whole Phoenix Suns bench is yelling for him to shoot it because that is A-plus successful defense.
I'm not here for that either. Yeah.
It's going to be tough because Josh Green does bring positive things. I'm not going to deny that. But he also brings some negative things that you really worry about.
When are we getting back into Mavs? Because I got there's some, and I know we got Eric Dickerson coming up here. So I don't want to drag this out too long. There's another big piece of this.
We can get back into it at 11 if sounds you would good. Like.
That sounds awesome.
Coming up next, man, Corey is hyped. Pro Football Hall of Famer, Texas native, and man giving back to the community. It's Eric Dickerson right here on The Fan. KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. Right now on the D&M Leasing Hotline, we bring to you NFL Hall of Famer, Texas native, and the man who's given back to the community this weekend. It is Eric Dickerson. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How you doing?
We're doing excellent. How about yourself? How are you? You got big event, the second annual All-Star Invitational coming up Sunday and Monday here in the Metroplex. Are you excited?
I'm looking forward to it. I mean, you know, I look at Dallas as my second home, you know, because I went to SMU. I'm really proud to be able to do something back in the Dallas area. We're going to provide football camp, hopefully learning centers, and also mobile medical in the future. So those are things I'm looking forward to doing, you know, in the Dallas area.
Do you get out there and like run through the pads with the kids, or like how does that work? Are you just like, no, you got this?
Well, ain't no pads, trust me. But yeah, I get out there and run around with the kids the best I can, you know. So I'm not as fast as I used to be. Let's put it like that. At 63 years old, it makes it a little bit harder.
Do you ever see one that you're like, he's going to be a pro player? Because Mike always talks about how his dad like spotted Matt Stafford when he was playing at Highland Park, and he was like, this kid's going to be a player. Do you ever see something you're like, oh, that he's got something?
Yeah, you see kids out there that you think, and then professional is different. You don't say, oh, you can play professional football. But you see a young kid say, hey, he can play college football. Now, from that point on, you just never know what's going to happen. But you can tell kids that are a little different from the other kids, you know, with the attitude, the focus, and also the athletic ability. You know, that's the main thing. And then some guys, you know what, they sprout early. You don't see it really when it happens, but you see something in that kid. But, yeah, I've seen that before a couple of times.
Now, on the flip side, I want to know if you're ever watching an NFL game and you're like, I could have made that cut or I could still break that tackle.
Well, I mean, man, no, I don't. I can say that. But I can say when I was still, you know, my late 30s and stuff, I'm like, man, I could have got through that. Or, you know, what I say now, man, in my young days, they would have never caught me there. I'd have made that, you know. But I don't say it, you know, because guys say, oh, man, like, you can still play. I'm like, look, it's not. I don't think it's 160-year-old running back out there anywhere.
I was just checking because the Cowboys have a need still for running back. So I just wanted to double check on that.
Nothing I could do for him.
Okay. All right. Well, I always do wonder this whenever that time did come, and were you like, I've given everything I gave to the game, that I have nothing left? Or was there always a part of you that was like, man, I wish I miss it. It was that, what part of that was it?
Nah, none of that. You know, I played the game hard all the time. You know, and the thing about it is, in every sport, every athlete goes to a point where, you know, they're not happy with something with their sport, outside the sport, but you still play hard. And then I don't have any regrets about anything. I gave it 100% all the time. And my dad had a saying, and I always try to live by that saying he had. He said, son, all that you do, do what you might. Things done by halves are never done right. And I always try to do it, you know, give it all I had.
And we're talking with Eric Dickerson right here on 105.3 The Fan. Really love that answer. I'm curious how long or when you first got involved with the charitable aspect that your fame can help give you the platform for. You're going to be You've got an event going on Sunday at the SMU Miller Event Center, and then the golf tournament is going on Monday at Preston Woods. So obviously you're helping out with the ED29 Foundation, your foundation. But when did you first start getting involved and thinking, hey, I can use this to make a difference?
Well, I've been doing it for a long time. I did when I played football. We had a program that just say no to drugs back in the 80s. And the thing about it is, it's funny how you can touch a person, you never know it. And a couple of guys, matter of fact, I was at the post office, and this was probably about 5 or 6 years ago. I was at the post office. A guy got out of a UPS truck, and he saw me. Said, "Eric Dickerson." I said, "Yes." He said, "Man, I want to say thank you." I said, "For what?" He said, "Man, you saved my life." And I'm like, "Really?" He said, "I was in that program, Just Say No to Drugs, when I was a young teenager." He said, "And I just want to say thank you." He said, "Because a lot of my friends, he said, they died doing drugs, and they got killed and doing a drug game. But I have a family and I have a job, and I want to say thank you." That I never forget. I said, "Man, I got to give you a hug for that." I mean, stuff like that, things that you don't even get a chance to see. Like, you know, I never knew that. I never knew that kid. You know, I was there, but I don't know if I ever really met him, but he was part of that program. And when you hear those kind of stories, it makes you feel really good about it.
And
that's awesome.
Yeah, it is. And we experience that on a very different level. We get that a lot on our like fan texts and stuff like that, Kevin, and that similar story of the nurse that came up to me and said, she gets to laugh because, you know, we're there for her and her life feels a little bit better. That's a wonderful feeling that, you know, you're helping somebody and making those kinds of changes. That's great, man.
Yep. I agree with you.
Now, you also impacted this person's life from the 972. Hey, will you tell Eric that I played against him in the 1978 state championship game and he kicked our ass? So it's not all super positive along the way.
You really...
He went to Wiley High School.
I assume so.
Right, Wiley. We played Wiley High School in the state championship. Yeah, that's true. I killed him.
And you're right, because I just looked up the box score from that game, and the Sealy scoring goes like this: Dickerson run, Dickerson run, Dickerson run. You had four touchdowns in that game.
Yeah, I had four touchdowns in that game. God, what was the score? I forgot the score. I remember the score for a long time.
It was 42-20 per my box score right here.
That's it. That's right. I said it was 40-something. That's 42-20. Yep, I remember. I remember that because they scored first. And, you know, the people who didn't score on us back in those days first, I was kind of shocked. But then we put it on them. But that's funny.
Thanks. By put him on him, he means they scored four consecutive touchdowns after that is what I'm seeing there. So, yeah, you affected a lot of people's lives in different ways.
The running back position in today's game. We were talking with Stephen Jones yesterday and said, hey, what's like the perfect running back to fit into the Cowboys, this Cowboys offense? And he said, well, I mean, you got Emmett and Barry. He just started naming off all the Hall of Famers, and then he narrowed it back, and he was like, no, but seriously, it's guys that can do pretty much everything. They can catch the ball and run the ball. He said, because we just don't, it's not built the same as it used to be, that you have one that can do all of that, so you kind of have to use multiple different running backs to do it. Do you think that there is still, like, there's a handful of guys that still have that ability?
Of course they are. It really is. I think that they've gotten to this mindset that you just don't you don't have to have one running back for all the time. And look, as most, what I could say, in our era and even after our era, you know, the running back position was a really sought after position. And I think that, I don't know, sometime along the way, I remember Mel Kiper kept saying that you don't need a great running back. You can plug a couple of guys in that position and do well with it. And I disagree with that. If you have a guy that is talented at that position, you should utilize him. I mean, a real running back, a guy that loves to play his position, does not want to share time, does not want to be taken out of the game. When he's down, he's running about four or five times in a row, he's down the goal line, he's not raising his hand to come out. I see a lot of that. I see guys, I want to carry the ball, you know, maybe 10 times and catch six passes, and that's enough. Nah, that's not football. Football is that if you carry the ball 26 times and catch five passes, that's part of the game. If you catch 12 passes and run the ball 8 times, that's part of the game. You have to acclimate to the game. I mean, my first year, I had 1,800 yards rushing, and I had 51 receptions, I think, for 404 yards. So, you know, It just depends on the guy who's in the backfield, you know, the guy that can really do that, and the guy that wants to do it. That's really what it comes down to. I see so many players now that they get that run the ball like three or four times and they raise their hand. I'm like, what is he doing? I mean, that's just me, but I think the game, the football is still football. I say, you know, I think that these guys, they bought into that nonsense.
I'm not saying the Cowboys are lacking at this position too, but how important is that offensive line as well, especially as we go into the draft tomorrow?
Man, let me tell you something. People don't realize. I always say, those guys so fat. I said, the big guys up front, the fat guys. Let me tell you something. Those fat guys are very, very important. Those guys make guys like me. They make guys the quarterbacks. I mean, they make us. I mean, and you have to have a good offensive line. You know, somebody asked me about how do you start a team? Would you start a team with a quarterback or running back? I said, no. If you start a football team with one or two things, you're gonna start with the offensive line or defensive line. You take the choice. You take the pick, either one. But you start with one of those two, and then you build around it. But yeah, those guys are very important. As a matter of fact, I met a guy the other day. I was in Pebble Beach, and a guy. He was a big guy. He was out there. He worked out there, and he said, "I just want to say I thank you for what you did for the game. I was an offensive lineman, and you made guys like us look good." I said, "No, you made guys like me famous." I said, "I want to thank guys like you." So yeah, those guys are very important.
On the flip side of it, because the Cowboys have been pretty bad at stopping the run, how do you stop a running back? Is it the beefy middle defensive tackle, or is it great linebacker play? What was always the more difficult part for you?
Well, I'm gonna tell you the difficult part to me was when you had a defense that was a swarming defense. I mean, we're gang tackling. I mean, I'm telling you, no one likes to be gang tackled because you might make that first or second tackle. Sometimes easy, sometimes not easy. But when you got to try to go through three and four guys, and then back then, you know, they can hit you all the way to the ground, it makes it a long day. I mean, that's how you really shut a running game down is you have to get guys around the ball or get guys to keep hitting the back over and over and over. And after a while, you're like, okay, man, it's going to be a rough day out of the day.
Maybe next week. Maybe next week I'll get my game.
We got the NFL draft coming up tomorrow, which you can also hear right here on The Fan. I know there's a 30 for 30 that focuses a lot on the quarterbacks, Elway to Marino in your draft class. What was your draft experience like, whether going through the process or on the day of the draft? What was that like for you?
Well, you know, I can tell you, matter of fact, I knew the night before because back when I got drafted in 83, Houston had the second pick. The Rams had the third pick. And it was rumored that they were going to possibly make a trade, or Houston was going to take me and possibly trade Earl Campbell. So the night before the draft, I got a call from Jack Faulkner. I still remember his name, Jack Faulkner from the Rams. And he said, and there were no cell phones. It was the house phone. I connected to Eric Dickerson. I said, "This is Eric." He said, "Hi, Eric." He said, "This is Jack Faulkner from the Los Angeles Rams. I just want to let you know that we're going to draft you in the morning. We're going to make a trade with Houston. So we have a ticket for you at the airport, so blah, blah, blah." And so sure enough, I told my best friend why we got up that morning. I called, I think it was, I want to say it was like a 9 o'clock flight to L.A. That morning. And they picked, and I was in the car when I heard I got drafted. I heard on the radio.
Wow.
Because Elway was the first pick, and then it said, wow, the Rams take a quick pick, Eric Dickerson from the SMU, Southern Methodist University. And, you know, I got congratulated there. But I got to the facility. You know, there's a lot of media there, a lot of media. Nothing like it is now. I mean, nothing like it is now. You know, I did some interviews. And the funny thing was John Robinson recruited me out of high school. And when I saw him, he said, "I finally got you." that was funny to me. But that was it. And then I think, you know, I'm going to tell you the big thing was, is, you know, just picking your number, what number you want to wear. So they had 25, 29, 32, 34, and 45. And I said, I want to wear number 19. If you can't wear 19, that's a quarterback's number or a kicker. I'm like, okay. So he said, pick from one of these numbers. So OJ was my favorite player. I loved Earl Campbell and Walter Payton and Jim Brown. So I said, okay. But I always wanted to have my own identity. I said, I'll just take number 25. So I took number 25, and I'm holding up in the LA Times. I still have it on my phone, a big picture of me holding up number 25 of me, John Robinson, and George Frontieri, the owner. And so when I got back to Dallas, my best friend picked me up. We're still best friends to this day. And he said, we're talking. He said, what number did you take? I said, I take number 25. He said, 25? I said, yeah. He said, why you take 19? I said, well, I told Mr. I said, you couldn't. I said, blah, blah, you couldn't take it. He said, tell me the numbers. So I said, they had 25, 32, 34, 29. He said, man, why'd you take 29? You know, it's close to 19. I'm like, man, that's right. That's true. Guys, I'm telling you, it's funny how things are. I could not. We went out there, and I couldn't hardly concentrate thinking about I want to change my number. I want to change my number. I want to change my number. So that I got up early the next morning to call back to L.A. The Rams, and I forgot it was a two-hour time difference, so I had to wait till they opened, I think, at 8 o'clock. I called back and I said, hey, can I speak to Mr. Hewitt, the equipment trainer? And he was an older guy, real serious. I said, hey, Mr. Hewitt, this is Eric Dixon. He said, how you doing, Eric? I said, fine. I said, congratulations. He said, what can I do for you? I said, Mr. Hewitt, I want to change my number. He got real quiet. He said, well, son, let me tell you, you in the LA Times holding up number 25, son. We don't change numbers. We don't do that around here. I got quiet. I said, I tell you what, Mr. Hewitt. I said, if I don't change my number to number 29, I said, I'm not coming. He got quiet. He said, okay, you'll be number 29. That's how I became number 29.
Well, and clearly,
wow.
That's an amazing story. Clearly, that's worked out for you. For people not familiar, I'm sure a lot are, especially with the events happening in the Metroplex this weekend, Sunday and Monday. What does the ED29 Foundation do, and how does it impact folks in Dallas?
Well, what we're trying to do, we want to help keep people in the community. We're going to hook up with the learning centers there. Eventually, what I really want to do is help kids with dyslexia, because my youngest daughter has dyslexia. She's dyslexic, and she has done so well in school. It was a lot of hard work, and that is one thing I really want to focus on. And also these mobile medical units. I really want to help people that can't get to the doctor, don't have ways to get out, they can't drive, they don't have the money for it. So those are things I want to start off doing in the Dallas area.
Excellent. We're looking forward to the event. We appreciate your time very much. We'll give out the link. Everyone can check out the website. Thank you very much for the time, good sir.
Hey, thank you very much. Hey guys, have a good one.
Ladies and gentlemen, Eric Dickerson. By the way, EventiaUSA.com. So EventiaUSA.com if you want to find out more information about that. Like I said, they're going to be doing things at the SMU Miller Event Center on Sunday, and then the golf tournament Monday morning at Prestonwood, the Creek Course, all for a great cause. He was excellent.
I was a little concerned at first, Kevin. He was like, I'm good. How are you guys? And I was like,
you didn't believe it.
And then he turned it on for us.
It's
nice
just
job.
A deep voice. Y'all were just imparting a thought on that deep voice. There's a lot of character and fun in that deep voice.
Absolutely. Coming up next, it's Tom for Baseball Nuggets with Mike Pasek.
Unfortunately, we are seeing Seattle's best.
Yeah.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 Through the Fan. Right now, it's time for some of that baseball nuggets with Mike Bacsik.
Okay, so Rangers lose yesterday 4-0. I watched a lot of the game. It was funny. Carter texted me after the first. He's like, you said Logan Gilbert wouldn't walk anybody.
He did.
And I text back Carter, and I thought Dave Raymond hit it on the head after that inning was over. If a guy who never walks people walks two people, yes, you have to take advantage. Yeah. If you don't, you're just giving that other team the feeling of, oh, they're not going to take advantage of their opportunities today. And after two innings, it was over. Logan Gilbert was like, it's over. He's awesome. He's their number three starting pitcher.
Man.
That's the issue with this series right now, is you are facing their best. Luis Castillo is going to be pitching tomorrow. Tonight is Bryce Miller. I know that they have another good pitcher going. That's just not – I'm sorry. Is everything okay?
Yeah, it's just like a minor. It's a football thing.
Okay,
not
good.
Minor.
Who cares?
No, I don't want to invade on baseball with football.
Man. Okay, thank you. It's worthless here.
It's not about the Cowboys, Pat.
Okay, good. Is it about one of my good teams?
I'm on Ross St. Brown. Got a contract extension.
Okay. Why are you invading baseball?
Sorry. Okay. We'll get to it in a minute.
But – the Mariners pitching staff is awesome. Their bullpen is awesome. And you saw how the Mariners can win this division and maybe even run away with it, to be honest. I'm not saying they're running away with it after 25 games into the season.
Right.
But you saw last night, and I think you might see tonight and then the next night, you might see why the Mariners are maybe, I hope I'm wrong, maybe way better than everybody else in the American League West. Now, the Rangers, let's get back to the Rangers. I'm just giving you Seattle. You saw what they can do to you. They're probably never going to score a lot of runs, but they have some boppers in their lineup. Julio Rodriguez, their MVP candidate, is getting hot, unfortunately, right when he comes to Texas. The Rangers, we said this before the season started because of the injuries to Max Scherzer, Tyler Mahle, Jacob DeGrom, who, look, I don't know if he's going to come back this year. We can be optimistic in April. But double Tommy John, his age.
Yeah.
I do think he's going to come back to the Rangers. It just might not be in 2024. But all the injuries the Rangers had pitching-wise before the season started, you said, this has to be for the 2 months to start this year, carried by the offense. The offense has to be one of the best in baseball, at least for the first 2 months, or you could find yourself in a tough situation. I will say being 500 is not bad right now, and luckily Seattle hasn't played great baseball until recently.
And this is the Rangers' first day out of first, is it not?
Yes, I believe so. Batting average for the Rangers in Major League Baseball is ninth overall. Slugging percentage, 14th. On base percentage, 12th. OPS, which is obviously adding your slugging and your on base, 10th. Runs, 10th. So I'm telling you right now, they're a hair above average. And in your kind of major team categories, they're above average, not good, but not like top five.
I thought they were top five across the board.
This has to be a top five lineup in baseball. If you want to repeat, and I know they didn't win the division, but if you want to repeat as tied in the division or winning the division, your offense has to really lead this team. So I give you those numbers, and I won't give you one other offensive number, but I go, man, you know what? 500 ain't that bad when I give you these next numbers. Rangers team ERA, 22nd. Their whip, which is your walks, hits, innings pitched, 20th. Walks, they have the 27th most walks in baseball. Only three other teams have walked more people than the Texas Rangers have. And then what is really good, the one thing that you can kind of hang your hat on in a basic general form is the batting average against the Rangers pitching staff is .222, which is fifth best in Major League Baseball.
It shows
how many people they're walking.
I was going to say it's surprising, but not really. When you balance it with the walks, you can see what's killing them.
So you look at a lot of your pitching stats overall as a team below average. You look at your hitting and you're barely above average, league average, and you're 12-12. So you're surviving right now. Now, here's the stat I want to get to for the Rangers overall. And this is Bruce Bochy's coming on later today. I think this is a valid question right now. They are 22nd in steals. I think they have 11 steals. I looked it up just a minute ago when I was writing it all down, but I wrote down their league average rather than the exact numbers. So, and it is 11. Last year, there was no reason to steal. We asked Bochy about it after the All-Star break, and he's like, dude, we hit doubles and homers all the time. Like, I get we're in a little bit of a lull this week, but my guys have proven over 100 games they're going to hit doubles and homers.
Right.
There's nothing that's been proven in 24 games. I get that. But when you have a slug percent or your slugging league average, when your on base percentage is about league average, a hair above, maybe you need to look at Wyatt Langford and Evan Carter and Leody Taveras and Marcus Semien and Adolis Garcia. These are your main candidates. Maybe even Josh Smith. I know he got thrown out the other day trying to steal, but maybe the six guys that are starting that aren't Jonah Heim, aren't Nate Lowe, and aren't Corey Seager, maybe you say, we got to start trying to steal bases because we're not getting to second by hitting the ball. We're not hitting doubles. We're not hitting the ball out of the park. I wonder, I don't think it's time yet to go into a full-blown, we got to start maybe, and small ball's a bad term, and it's not done anymore. I'm not saying you bunt guys over and just, you know, hit a little farter ground ball to the second baseman to move a runner from second to third with zero outs. By the way, don't cheer when you hit a ground ball with one out to the second baseman and move the runner to third with two outs. That is not a positive at bat. Nobody's trying to do that. Nobody in the history of baseball has ever told somebody, good job by moving, unless the catcher can't catch. And then you're like, great job because a wild pitch or a pass ball is about to happen. You're only trying to move a runner to third from second when there's nobody out. So I just look at it and I wonder at what point do you go, maybe we're not going to hit the most home runs this year. Maybe we're not going to have a high extra base hit percentage. Maybe we're just going to be league average. And if that's the case, we need to start figuring out how to get free bases. They've made the rules where you can get more free bases. They want you to try this because they've hired the percentage of your chance of being successful. So I just wonder when we look at these numbers from the Rangers very early in the season, when do you go, we got to start turning the ponies loose, Eric Dickerson, and trying to steal more bases because we're not getting to second by hitting the ball. Right. We're not getting to third by hitting the ball, and we're not jogging around the bases by hitting the ball right now.
Interesting. I definitely want to talk.
We do it today.
Okay.
Yeah, we're
starting
today.
Right now.
Yep.
Okay.
I'd like for you to just make sure, do not look at Bryce Miller's stats if you want to do that today.
Now I feel like he doesn't want us to do that.
I'm
saying don't trust the offense. Like, Bryce Miller's a stud. So this is the Seattle Mariners. They are throwing their three studs against this. George Kirby's the other one. That's their other good pitcher who's not in this series.
Holy crap.
He said, don't
You should have warned me, Mike.
Yeah.
Okay. Starting tomorrow?
Luis Castillo's pitching tomorrow.
Well,
after
you know
the series
Mike,
is over, after the series, we'll start.
We'll figure it out at
some
point.
The whole play
in Mike. Maybe All-Star. Maybe the All-Star break. Fine.
Reds are bringing in Jose Rio and Tom Browning.
When Josh Young comes back.
That's not right.
When Josh Young comes back, we'll do it.
No?
Definitely not that last one. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we'll get you more information on that new wide receiver contract, how it could impact the Cowboys and CeeDee Lamb. It's a good day for him. It's just a heads up. But Corey has demanded to talk about the Mavs some more, and we agree. We'll do it next right here on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.